Well, hold your papers up high, forget all your worries. Well, troubled poets can't die, they're the meat of the story.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and today I'm on the phone with Will Thomas, a composer and producer living in LA. Will, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you, Stephanie. Nice to talk with you.
This is the second time I've had the opportunity to speak with you. The first time you were so gracious to come and visit, and visit is in quotes because we tried to FaceTime you in, but we ended up just doing a speakerphone where you shared your career and what it is that you do with our Hush podcast team.
That was great.
It was fantastic, and you were really inspiring to them. As you know, they are creating and in the midst of creating a podcast series. They're on episode 8, and guess what, Will?
What's that?
Episode 9 of the series will be performed as a live radio play.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. At a theater called The Phipps, and then we'll upload it for podcast, and there will be lots of music in that.
Oh, great.
That they'll be using to both underscore and also use as transitions, and of course, there's always theme music. So everything that you say is of much interest to them, and from that conversation that we had, I knew that it would be of interest to the general public as well, and so I absolutely can promise our listening audience that they are in for a treat as we delve into your career as a composer and a producer. And just talk about the journey you've taken to get to where you're at as a fancy schmancy LA guy, living the life, living the dream, doing what all kinds of musicians out there wish they could be doing. So, Will, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here. Nice to talk.
So you began your professional career writing music for movie trailers before being hired as a composer for the sci-fi show G vs. E on the USA Network. And in addition to that, you've released 4 albums while in New York under the moniker Plumline and another 4 under Dive Index. And in between releasing all these albums, which if I'm doing my math correctly, 4 + 4 still equals 8. Mm-hmm. You've worked on commercials, film and TV projects, and had your music featured in CSI, CSI Miami, Melrose Place, and I could just keep going on and on. I mean, you really are living the dream, Will.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. I wish I could say the same, but it's always a little bit of a struggle, actually, when you're kind of in this world, because there's so many people out there doing the same thing. But I'm really pleased to be able to say that I'm a working composer, and it's been a really great journey, I have to admit.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's a journey we'd like to explore. So tell me how it all began. What inspired you? Where were you? How old were you? What was it that sparked this composing interest?
You know, I started piano lessons when I was probably about 9 or 10, and I was not very good at practicing. I just didn't have that kind of drive to play other people's music and to play the same thing over and over and over. It kind of drove me crazy, and I realized that being a very structured piano player was not going to be where I was going to go. I was not going to be the trajectory of my career. And not that I thought that at the time, but it just wasn't fun. It was like, you know, when you're that old and you want to do whatever is what's fun for you. At that point, piano lessons, I saw there was an older friend play drums, and I just completely locked onto him, and I watched that in awe, and I thought that's what I want to do. So from that point on, I started playing drums, and I played drums through the school band, and then in rock bands in high school, and then it just everything kind of evolved from there. I because I had a little bit of that piano basis, I started to get into keyboards, and I also started to get a little bit more into guitars and bass, and just sort of expanded my reach as far as learning the lots of different instruments and understanding more about all the way songwriting and the way things are recorded and produced. And that's sort of how I I morphed into becoming a little bit more of a producer and engineer as well as a composer.
Wow, that's great. But I do have to say one thing. Well, I also took piano lessons, and I also, well, let's just say this. I did not find them very fun, and I thought it was quite boring, and I kept my 2 years up like I was supposed to. But you, however, went on, and, you know, I just have to do a little public service announcement, since we do have students who might be listening to this, that, you know, those piano lessons that your parents make you do? Hey, keep at it, because year three might be a whole different experience, and who knows when you'll meet a drummer just like Will.
That's true, yeah. And you know, everything that you, anything that has anything to do with music, whatever instrument, I always find it's always an incredible learning process, and it's an incredible tool to be able to have in all aspects of life, and just to be able to talk about music. And probably what we're going to get into a little bit later in this conversation is even if you are working in another field and you have to hire a composer to do something for you, it's great to be able to have a little bit of that knowledge and have a little bit of the terminology that you know, so you can actually have a good conversation with the composer.
So tell me, when did you decide to go pro, so to speak?
Well, that's kind of a funny story, because I'm going to have to say that the first time, the first time we probably decided to go pro, when I was 14. And the reason why that's kind of funny is because we were, as I said, I was playing drums in the school band, but I didn't have a drum set at the time. And when I was 13, I got a drum set, and I had some friends, and they were starting to play guitar and keyboards, and we had a bass player, and we started to just do that classic garage band thing. We played literally in my garage. And after going to high school, we were freshmen in high school, and we thought we are so good that we are going to go back to the middle school and play an assembly for the middle school. And you know, we had such confidence in ourselves that we went back to the school and said we'd love to play an assembly. We actually got paid for it. It was a really wonderful experience. We were so excited, and I'm sure that we sounded awful. I'm sure that but the kids loved it, and we loved it, and we actually got asked back the next year to do it again. And it was we also were the middle school hired us to play at some of their dances. And so it's kind of funny, because there's this, I feel like we were playing our instruments for what felt like less than a year, and all of a sudden we were professional in the literal sense of the word. We're actually getting paid to play music. But you know, when you're that old, we really had that bond and that confidence where we were just like, we just thought we were great. And
you were rock stars already.
We were rock stars, yeah. And but then there was just sort of like a shift, obviously, because that was a great moment. And but then we decided, you grow and you grow out of relationships, and everybody goes off after they graduate high school into different directions and things. Then you go different ways. And I fortunately still had that passion to play and write and record music. And I've been doing it ever since.
That's very, very cool. Well, tell me about some of the music that you compose. When you compose music, let's say for a TV show or a film or a commercial, is there a different process that you use, or is the process the same but the product comes out different? Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I do, my main work is split up into two categories. One that I would consider my artist category, which is sort of recording songs and releasing albums. And then my other side is doing the more commercial work, which is where the TV commercials and film stuff falls under. In the film, TV, commercial world, there is a little bit of a difference between each different project, because when you are working on a TV show, it's a very, very intensive schedule. It's very, very demanding, and there's a lot of work, and not a lot of time, and it's this constant flow of doing all these different styles of music and all these, depending on the length of the show. And I was doing an hour long show, and is about 43 minutes if you factor in the commercials. I was doing probably anywhere between around an average of about 25 minutes worth of music, and we'd have to do it in a week.
Oh my goodness.
And that was like, writing and recording, and it's crazy. It's a very intense schedule. So when you're sort of done with that, when you're done with the season, it's rewarding, but it's exhausting. But then with film, if you're blessed to work with some producers that have a little bit of a plan and are organized, then they give you a little bit more time to actually do the film. But then the problem with the film is that the music tends to be the last thing to happen. So mm-hmm. you have to wait until the final cut is complete, and then you start working on the film, on music. But if you do have some time, you can start actually writing some of the different themes and some different pieces that you can then insert into the film once you get the final picture. And then commercials is a whole different world, because that's a very competitive world, and a lot of times you're not only is it competitive on a global scale, but it is competitive for each individual project. So you might, you know, get a call for one particular project, and there might be 10 composers competing to get that commercial. So the commercial is done, and then they might send it out to a bunch of different composers, and then all of them send what's called like a spec piece back, and then the client basically chooses which piece of music they want at that point. So it's fairly different workflows.
Yeah, no, it sounds that way. You know, obviously the amount of time you have to compose is one of the differences between those three different areas, and that in the artistic area that you were talking about. But when you're talking about the commercial work that you do versus the artistic work that you do, is your process different for the artistic work, or does it look pretty much the same, but it's, you can be a little bit more creative because you're coming from it from a personal standpoint versus these are my obligations and what I'm required to dish up?
Right. Well, when you're working on an album, it really is, it's the kind of thing where the sky's the limit. You don't have any kind of restrictions. And then when you're working on a commercial project or a film, the client is the limit, basically. You know, the picture is the limit. And you have to then really know how to collaborate with those people and understand what they're looking for, and set, there's very specific parameters there that tend to get set up, because it has to work to the picture, and that's the most important thing when you're working on TV and film. But when you're working on an album, you can just basically do whatever you want. If you do have a record label that is a little bit more controlling, then they might want to give you them to get 20 songs, and they, you know, pick 10 for the album or something like that. But that's, it really depends on the style that you're working with for albums. But even when I'm working on an album project, I do like to set up some parameters, because it's a little bit overwhelming when you sort of sit down and think, wow, okay, I can do anything that I want. But there's a little bit of comfort in knowing that, you say, for instance, you just say, oh, I'm going to have vocals on all of these songs, or I'm not going to have any vocals on these songs, or I'm going to use just these instruments and not those instruments, and just have a little bit of parameters that to help you keep things a little bit more, a little bit of a structure.
Yeah, and how do you set up that structure? You know, I'm not a composer, so I don't really know how it works, other than I know somehow it goes from the brain to beautiful music that we hear. And mm-hmm. So let's say you get an idea for something. Let's say it's an idea for an album, something you want to do personally. How do you create that structure? What's your first step with that? And then, you know, how do you get from that first step to actually scoring the project and making it into something that, you know, we all will hear?
Well, are you talking about from the artistic side?
Let's start from the artistic side.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think that every process is really different for me as far as where I start. I can start with sitting down at the piano, and I can just start putting some melodies together, some chords together, just some any kind of progression, just little sketchy things. I can sit down with a guitar and start playing some little ideas and put some sketches down there. Or I can have a sound. I could just record a sound out in nature with my field recorder, and all of a sudden that becomes this nice little kind of background for something, and all of a sudden that sends me off into a different direction. And then sometimes I might be working with some kind of drums or some samples or a drum machine or some piece of gear that I just am having fun with, and I come up with a little rhythm, and that might send me off. So it really depends on the actual sort of instrument as far as where I start. But then I have a bunch of different projects that I work on, and one of them is this project that I do collaborations with Roger Eno, and he is this wonderful ambient piano player, and he's also a great guitar player, and among other things he can play all these different instruments. And to be able to get little pieces and snippets from him, and then I can take those and expand on those, that's a really wonderful collaboration. And I do love to collaborate with other people on both on commercial projects and on album projects, whether it's collaborating with a vocalist or collaborating with another instrumentalist, cello players and things like that. It's really nice to be able to have another voice, so to speak, whether it's an instrument or an actual voice, in the studio and have somebody else to contribute some ideas, because as soon as they do something, it might send you in a completely different direction, and that's when it starts to get exciting.
Yeah, oh, that sounds amazing. So how would you define your musical style? And
wow, that's a tough one. Only because it comes from a lot of different places, and it's so difficult to describe what I do because it really depends on the project. But I try to maybe call it like an electroacoustic. I guess you could call it like just an electronic and acoustic hybrid, because I tend to use synths and modular synthesizers, but also I use piano and cellos and other strings and any kind of other organic instrument. What I do tends to be a little bit of a blend of organic and electronic elements. Definitely the sort of main umbrella that I like to categorize the music. And sometimes it gets a little bit more beat and dancey oriented, and sometimes it can get much more ambient, and so that's it's tricky, because like I said, it depends on the actual project that I'm working on.
That's very cool. Hey, well, I just had an idea. Would you be willing to share a couple of musical compositions that you've done? You mentioned the collaboration with Roger Eno. I'd love to hear what you guys have come up with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we can definitely do that. I have there's one piece that we could play that's a nice piano based piece that we also used some of these church bells that we recorded in this church in England, and that might be a nice example of what I was just talking about, having some field recordings that can take you into a specific direction. And so I can play you this particular piece. The name of it is Adaptation, and it is on the album that I did as Plumline with Roger Eno called Transparencies.
Excellent. Here it is. I it. It's so cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Original and awesome. And
yeah,
I'm going to ask you this question again, but just tell me how I can get to that song so I can listen to it over and over and over again, should I want to do that.
Yeah, it's on iTunes or on Spotify or any kind of streaming music of your choice.
And I would search for Adaptation?
Yeah, you can search Adaptation as the name of the song, or Roger Eno and Plumline.
Perfect. Well, give me another song.
Oh, another one of my artist projects is Dive Index. And that's a little bit more song-based. And I use that as a real way to collaborate with a bunch of different people and also a bunch of different vocalists. But I also have lots of different people who I think are wonderful musicians and singers, and I like to get them involved in my projects whenever I can. So Dive Index, I try to use as a medium to get all these people and use all of their wonderful talent on that particular album. So I tend to write the music and then collaborate with the vocalists and they write the lyrics and then we work together and sort of create the song together. So, and the Dive Index project use a bunch of different vocalists, and one of the vocalists I used on the last album was this woman named Simone White, who has this wonderful voice. The song that we could play is called If I Ever Have You.
Ooh, I love the title, If I Ever Have You. Here it is. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's a sort of an example of how I use what I mentioned before, the combination of electronics, and there's the cellos in there and with, the vocals. And it's sort of a blend of organic and electronic instruments in there. So that's sort of a good example of what I do.
That's awesome. Well, so those are a couple of examples from your albums, a couple of albums that you've worked on. Tell me about a project that you are involved with right now. I believe you are doing something for the Santa Barbara Dance Theater. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I just finished something for their 2017 season, and it was a project where I worked with the choreographer, and it was really an interesting project. It was something that I'd never done before. I'd had people use my music within their dance pieces, but this was the first time that I actually collaborated with a choreographer to write the music and record the music specifically for a dance piece. And it was a wonderful collaboration. It was a really interesting process, and very different from what I've done before, because the way you work with dance, it's not the kind of thing with film. The structure, when you get a final picture, that's sort of it. That's very concrete. That you have a complete final project that you have to work with. But with dance, things can change all the way up until the last minute. So you can be tweaking things and lengthening things and shortening things and adding things all up until the last minute. So, you know, you obviously want to be careful, because you don't want to start throwing changes at dancers in the last minute. But if there is something that is just not working, or if it's just a little bit long and you want to cut it or something, then you have the ability to do that. And that process was really fun and educational and exciting, because I sat down with the choreographer and we discussed stylistic ideas and what kind of direction we wanted to go, whether we wanted to go contemporary, whether we want sort of more of a retro sound, or just all these different just questions that we sort of talked about up front. And then I delved in and just came up with some sketches, and I came up with like five different sections and just put them together and weave them together with some transitional moments. And then I played it for him, and he really loved it. He then, as he was listening to it, started to get all these visual ideas for dance. Phrasing is sort of what I learned. That's what they call so these sort of dance phrases. So he then took those sketches and worked with them, with the dancers, and wrote and designed the dance around some of these little ideas. Not anything too concrete, but he just sort of used them as mood, like sort of like a mood board for what the, you know, different sections that we had. And then he videotaped the rehearsals and all these little phrases, sort of, you know, 1 minute, 2 minute pieces. And then we took those videos and we put them back into my program and started to arrange the whole piece as, you know, in a timeline. And so that's how the piece kind of started to take shape in a very rough way. And then, because we just decided, we started to put different phrasing on our different pieces of music to see if they worked better. And it was really kind of interesting. And then once things got a little bit more closer to a more final structure, then I went back in and had to add new pieces. I lengthened new other pieces, and I really managed to kind of do, together we really had this wonderful kind of back and forth and created the piece together, which was really, you know, an exciting thing to do.
Yeah, so Will, you can almost put down on your CV or resume now that you're a choreographer.
Yeah, right.
Your music influenced the phrasing of the dance. So that is pretty cool. All right, well, last question, because we're running out of time. I know that the Hush composers would be really unimpressed with me if I didn't ask you this. What advice would you have for a student starting out who wants to be a composer?
Wow, yeah, that's a tricky one. I would say a couple things. One of the things is that I would, starting out, work on as many projects as you can. That's one of the things that I would definitely say to everybody, because there's a certain amount that you can learn in school or from, you know, a mentor or anything, and you can learn that to a certain extent, but everything that you, when you're working on something, you're constantly learning something every time you work on a new project. And every time you have a different project, and particularly a project that is out of your comfort zone, you learn something every time you do that. So my main piece of advice would be to just start with just, even if it's you're giving yourself an assignment, looking at a film or a TV show or a trailer or something that you can then score on your own, and just try it and experiment with it and see if it works. Because what I've learned over the years is that there are so many different things that can work to the same scene. And, you know, you could play something that you think really works and a director doesn't think it works at all. So it's really a matter of opinion to be able to just understand why things are working and try different things, and just keep on doing it, and you'll keep learning every time.
Well, this has been fantastic, and I could just keep on talking about music. And so if I wanted to continue the conversation online on your website, how would I get there? Where would I go?
Oh, sure. Neutralmusic.com is the hub of all of my artist projects. So all of the albums that I've released are on Neutral Music. That's NEUTRAL music.com.
Perfect.
And I also have a simple page for my composer projects, which is willthomasmusic.com. And that has a little bio and some sound samples and my composer reel on there. So you can see the visuals as well as the music, hear the music on there.
And so, Will, if I go on to neutralmusic.com, I can find links to iTunes and the other sites where your music is made available?
Sure, yeah. That's
awesome. Great. Will Thomas, LA composer and producer. Will, thank you so much for being on Voices in the Valley.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is Steph. You've been listening to Voices in the Valley. You can hear us every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. on KLBB Radio, or find the podcast of Voices in the Valley on iTunes, Google Play, Music, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Be sure to subscribe today.